Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Titans will be back on the field publicly tomorrow as they continue training camp at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. All of our training camp coverage is presented by Macero and 12 South and Parman Energy Group. We welcome to the show now forever Titans punter Brett Kern. He joins us now. Hi, Brett. What's up?
Good morning. I feel like we should welcome you to the show.
I know. It's been a minute.
It's been a little bit.
It's been a minute, but good to be back. I want to start with the bad news. Treylon Burks breaks his collarbone on Saturday at the stadium. You know, we were just talking about it, you know, trying to make a play and, you know, obviously put himself in a position. You know, I think he was going to make this team, but, you know, to obviously get more playing time. You were there when all this went down and he was, you know, drafted. I think we can all agree he was brought in an unfair situation, but it is what it is. And that was he was drafted in the first round and basically brought in to replace A.J. Brown after he was traded.
Right.
It's never really worked. He's battled injury his whole career. I hate it because I think he's a good kid and I want to see him succeed, but I do think his time as a Titan might be coming to an end.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate because Treylon's a good kid, quiet kid, goes about his business. And, you know, to come in that situation, obviously, with the whole trade and AJ and kind of those expectations, you know, it's tough. But, you know, there's a sign in the training room at the Titans facility. It says the best ability is availability. And unfortunately for Treylon, you know, you're looking at playing in about 50% of the games that he could have possibly played in. And, you know, with one touchdown, it's just it's tough. The injury bug, it happens all across the league. It's not just Treylon. Like, you see guys come in that are just extremely gifted athletes, very talented, and they just, for whatever reason, whether it breaks, you know, muscle tears, soft tissue issues, you know, concussions, it just ends their career short. And I'm not saying this is the end of Treylon's career, but I just think with the Titans not picking up his fifth-year option and just, like I said, not being able to be available just makes it tough.
Does this open the door for, you know, somebody else like a Xavier Restrepo or an Oliver, one of those guys, to take his spot and make this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it. It might have been around the draft, actually. You know, when they drafted DK and Iowa Manor in the fourth round, and then all of a sudden this wide receiver room becomes extremely crowded, right? And I think we chatted about potentially Treylon starting on the PUP list and that obviously opening up a spot for one of these guys. You know, Oliver, even somebody like Mason Kinsley, you know, Restrepo, and I, honestly, like somebody like James Prochet, right, who's been in the league 7 years, who's a gifted punt returner and kick returner, right? And so, you know, if you kind of have your five guys, and Ridley, Lockett, DK, Iowa Manor, and you know, say Van Jefferson, right? And then now this opens up a spot for the sixth. And so I'll be interested to see which way they go. Training camp's important, but, you know, these preseason games and these practices against other teams are probably more important.
Talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Brett, we got this for you because we want you to have PTSD.
1 week we're going to stink, gosh, and this guy sucks, and then I suck.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, that's one of the many clips you could probably play.
Oh, man.
Probably not.
Just wanted you to have that today.
Have you laughed at some of the stuff that he said in New England? Of just like, because I hear it and I go, ah, there he is. He's back.
It's Vrabelese, whatever language he speaks, and just how he talks, how he communicates, just gets right to the point. Doesn't really like many of the media members. Just he's a special individual who honestly knows a ton about football. And like I said, I've learned a lot from him over the years when he was coaching. But it just cracks me up.
Oh, absolutely!
All his isms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why we love him. We played that for you. Brett Kern's with us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. All right, we talk about Burks at practice, everything. You know, he probably wouldn't have made the team anyway, but it's a great story. Because of that, you know, it opens up opportunities for a guy. You read that quote about the best ability is availability for a guy. Now the guys in that wide receiver room, although they hate it, they're like, all right, now we get to step up. So does that increase the competition more for these guys in that room, Brett?
Yeah, I mean, it should. Obviously, depending on what they're looking for exactly in that spot. But I think the biggest thing is when I, you know, just listed off those five guys, right, of who will probably make the team. I think that sixth guy – has to be a guy that can contribute heavily on your core four for special teams. You can't keep six receivers potentially and not have any of them really contribute on special teams, because then you're trying to find other areas, you know, to kind of take those special team spots. And so, you know, if you're going to keep six, I'd say one for sure has to be a core four, and maybe even two has to be a contributor on special teams. So as important as it is, you know, to get that wide receiver spot, I think it's, you know, for the offense, I think it's even more important, whoever that sixth receiver is, if they keep six, it has to be a core four guy.
All right, we talk about competition. We went on the show last week when Will Levis was announced that he was not going to be available this year because of shoulder surgery, and it kind of, you know, it probably let Callahan off the hook and everybody off the hook, like, all right, we don't have to worry about him making the comments, us making the comments about all that. But the competition is still there now. I mean, Cam's going to be number one. So your number two guy is kind of gone now. When you were fighting to be a punter in the league, when they brought somebody in, did you get mad? Did you question why, or you just go out and do your job?
Yeah, I mean, I got mad. I got frustrated because I also knew, like, you know, special teams, it's not like, you know, when you go out for training camp, those guys, you know, on offense and defense are running 60, 70, 80 plays per practice, right? And the whole, you know, notion of Cam Warden, how is he doing? And, oh, he threw this pick and all that, like all that stuff, right? And you want to root for the defense, right? You also want to root for the offense, but it's very conflicting, right? of what you want. Who do you want to do well? Like, Cam throws a pick to Cody Barton. It's like, oh, darn, Cam, why did you do that? And then you're thinking, well, great job by Cody to recognize, you know, what he was doing, and what formation they're in and all that. Anyways, but all that to say is special teams, you know, punting, you know, you might have a 10-rep period, and that's every 3 days. So you don't really get a ton of reps. And so I knew when somebody came in, like, someone's going to be taking my reps. And so, you know, I think I told you guys earlier on the show, I was like, okay, if this guy's April, I want to see how quickly I can beat him out and get him cut. that was kind of my goal. Just because I knew, you know, when the time training camp came around or even preseason, it was like I knew some of my reps were going to be taken away, and I wanted all those to get ready for the season. And I'm just a competitor in general. Like, I want to win, whether we're playing golf. I only maybe roll bowling, if that's what it's called, bowling once a year. Like, I still want to beat you in bowling. So ping pong, you name it, let's go. So, but yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, but it's a part of the business that they're always trying to go younger and cheaper. And that's just a part of how it goes.
Brett Kern is with us here on the Chasing Big Joe show. So the Titans get Joey Sly to be their kicker this year. We know he's kicked 60 plus. I think he hit a 63 yarder last year for the Patriots. He boots a 66 yard field goal in practice on Saturday. Unreal. The boot that this guy has.
Yeah, he's a big boy. Strong, like really strong. I remember when he came into, I think it was Carolina, his rookie year, I think it was 2018, and just watching some preseason film, and kickoffs were going like 5-6 deep into the stands, and it was just really impressive. And so the crazy thing is about the one that he hit on Saturday, that 66-yarder, that thing was still a quarter of the way up the uprights. Like, legit, I think that thing was good from 70 to 71 if they did it in a game. So, you know, he hit a 63-yarder last year. He hit a 61-yarder in 23, you know, in Washington. So, obviously the capability is there to hit a long field goal. It's just a matter of if he gets, you know, if the Titans are in that situation to end of the half, end of a game, you know, obviously you don't want to try a 66-yarder, you know, halfway through the first quarter if something happens and, you know, he misses it. And then all of a sudden, you know, the offense has a great field position start for their next drive. So, yeah, but that's definitely a nice asset to have, somebody with that kind of leg.
Well, how much is that discussed? I mean, obviously, you know, it's not going to be a regular thing like you just said. But, you know, when you know you have a guy that has the big leg, I mean, is that something that's, you know, discussed in meetings? Is it practiced regularly? Because, you know, if it's the end of the game and that's the only play you have left, like you just said, knowing that you have that available to you has to be a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, really, when you think about it, if you're end of the half, end of the game, and let's say the other team kicks off, right, and it's a touchback, and you're on the 25, and in essence, you only have to go 25 more yards to potentially have a try at 3 points, right? I mean, that's pretty good, you know, for Callahan and calling plays and all that kind of stuff, knowing that, hey, look, you know, we don't have to down to the opposite 30 or the opposite 25 to put ourselves in a really good chance for a field goal. I mean, really, if we're looking at you know, three first downs, if we can get 25, 30 yards and our kicker can hit it from 60, 65, you know, we don't have to drive it as far. I mean, obviously you'd like to go as far as you can to make it a higher percentage field goal try, but knowing that you have that leg capability in your back pocket is a pretty nice asset.
Brett, let me ask you this. We could spend all 2 hours just banging on this football team of this and that. They're not good. What excites you about this football team right now?
Honestly, I think it is just, you know, Cam Ward and the potential. And I say potential just because it's, you know, you're looking at a 17-game season. Hopefully he can stay healthy for all 17 games. You know, obviously he's going to go up against some pretty good defenses along the way. But I just think anytime you have a number one pick, especially a quarterback, and if that can work out, and he can show that he can do it, you know, on a relatively consistent level and not be a repeat offender in the sense of, hey, you know, I was rolling across to the right, I threw across my body, you know, right back, you know, kind of that Mahomes to Kelsey thing. And people forget, like, when they show the Mahomes to Kelsey thing, that's like a highlight, right? Plenty of times if you're watching the Chiefs every Sunday, you know, Patrick rolls out to his left or his right and he makes those throws and A, somehow it doesn't get intercepted or it's incomplete or he dirts it, right? It's not like every time that just happens. And so Cam just, you know, trying not to be a repeat offender and the mistakes that he makes. And even when he, you know, threw that interception to Cody Barton, like he went over and asked him, like, what did you see? Like a different kind of like, okay, I'm trying to obviously do it through an offensive lens, but I want to know what the defense is seeing as well. Like, did I tip it? Were my eyes in the wrong place, right? Was he looking at my hips, the way my hips were turned to where I was going to throw? And so, like I said, I think if Cam can show progress, show that he can be a starting quarterback on this team, like, then all of a sudden you have your quarterback for the next, you know, how many years, and now you can start really building your roster around your quarterback, and that's exciting.
When you started talking about the positive, you cut out for a second. I thought Vrabel tried to cut the line on us right there about the positivity. with that being said, I know the answer to this question. I'm going to ask it anyway. How monumental is that opening game against Denver, Brett?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. I mean, and it's opening week, too, in Denver. Tough defense, tough place to play. Yeah, I mean, it's huge, but it's not like the end-all, be-all, right? I mean, if he goes out there and makes a mistake, he's going to make mistakes, right? Like I said, I think the big thing that you want to see is that he's not a repeat offender, you know, kind of making the same mistakes over and over again. And, you know, and the mistakes that do happen, that he can learn from them and then build upon it for the next week and the things that he does well in the game, because he will do some things that I think will be great in the game. And I think just building upon those as well. But, you know, it's just one game out of 17. And then the next week you play the Rams, and then you know, it's just, you got to take it week by week. But it's definitely a good litmus test to kind of see where we're at, you know, early on in the season going forward.
Brett, great stuff. Looking forward to the conversations now that there's actual football to talk about. So it'll be a lot of fun, but thanks. We'll talk next week.
All right. Y'all have a good week.
You too. Brett Kern, former Titans puncher, joining us here on the program. Coming up next, I went on the Sports Grid show last night, and they asked me, when looking at this football team that has so many issues, what is the brightest spot on this roster?
Oh.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I gave an answer, and I think it's the right answer, but I struggled because obviously they have a long way to go. We'll discuss that. I'll get Joe's answer to that question. Coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. And, of course, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. This fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will perform at Trentech's Rock the Cradle. This event is sure to be a great time celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. You can weigh in on anything we're talking about on our phone and text line, driven by wilsoncountyhoney.com at 615-737-1025. Kevin in Muletown says, I think he meant Super Bowls or MVPs, says Cam Ward will win 3 Heismans before his career is over. Book it. I don't think he's eligible for that anymore.
Kevin, you're better than that. Come on, man.
Got a lot of optimism with Cam Ward. So I went on Sports Grid, which one host was in Boston, one was in Vegas, you know, talking about the AFC South last night and the odds in the AFC South. Obviously, the Titans are at the bottom. Nobody really expecting them to do anything. Their win total is 5.5 on the season, which is probably right at it. And they asked me, what is the bright spot on this football team? And my initial response was, whew, that's a loaded question. But I said interior defensive line. That was the, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat was kind of where I went first. And then I kind of made the comment that I think that as bad as this defense was last year, I almost think there's a little more hope on the defense than there is the offense. And I don't even, like, I don't even believe that. Like, that's just where I'm at on this team. So how would you answer that question?
I'd go, I think the skill players are fine. I think Tony Pollard's a good running back. I think Ridley is a really good receiver. If he gets a compliment of a Tyler Lockett or somebody could help out, I think that there's a lot of positives there.
But you just said the key word there.
But
if
yeah,
because you're right about Pollard, but nothing behind him, like, has been good.
Nope.
I mean, Tajay Spears, I had a lot of excitement for. He ain't done anything. And so what do they got other than Tony Pollard in the run game? And then Lockett is – I like Lockett. I like the signing, but I don't expect 1,000 yards from him.
He looks good in camp. And I know it's camp. I get all that. You know. I think he's still got a lot of gas left in his tank, man.
I mean, I hope he has a kind of a resurgent year, you know, because he's going to need to, because they just don't have a lot. Like, they have Ridley and then him, and then you're hoping – you know, one of those fourth round picks does something.
I will tell you this. I know it's early, but when Cam runs a bootleg, he ran a naked bootleg the other day, and he got past everybody and was just sending bullets down the field. I mean, it was great watching that. But until we see into the game, I'm not going to say that guy's got a lot of promise. I'm excited about that. But I don't know if they get on the same page. But right now, you might be right, man. I mean, it's Simmons and Sweat and those guys, but that's two players out of 11.
I have a challenge for everyone when talking about this team. See if you can talk about this team without using the word if.
It's impossible.
You can't.
I know it's impossible.
Because every answer that anybody gives about the Titans right now is, well, if this happens, if they have three or four good receivers, if one of the tight ends steps forward, if Cam Ward turns out to be the right guy, if the secondary –
but don't a lot of teams have this?
They do, but, I mean, are you saying –
I think a lot of them do.
Are you saying with Kansas City, like, well, you know, if Patrick Mahomes is any good
– but, look, they lost a lot on that offensive line. If that line isn't good
– yeah.
I mean, so sure. There's a lot that goes on. Yeah, I know, but you take out the four or five teams who are going to be in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs, the Eagles, and the Bills – those usual suspects that happen right there. I think there's a lot of questions for a lot of teams that go on. But, there are some foundational pieces on this football team going forward that they've got to build upon. You know, you could bang on Skoronski all day long. He was really good. He's coming into his own as a good guard.
He was quietly good last year.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
But it's a guard. So you don't pay attention to the guard. And don't say you do because you don't. And I know all that stuff. So, I don't know. That's why we talk about that first game. Man, they could win that first game. But they've done it before.
I don't think they do.
They did it with Wisenhunt when they beat Kansas City in 14. It's like, oh, my God, they beat Kansas City, but it's pre-Mahomes.
Yeah.
And then they proceeded to, you know what, the bed the rest of the season. So there's a lot of things there. But I just focus on that Denver game and winning that Denver game and how much that Denver game means to everybody along the way.
Ken Wisenhunt's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame for first games.
He is, right?
Like the 2014 and then 2015 with Mariota.
He was. That's right. Winning big games like that. So I don't know. We'll see. But next week it starts with they can have a great practice this week. That's fine. The Bucs, you'll start seeing, you'll peel away little things like, he wasn't good there, he was great there.
I mean, that's really when I'm going to be able to give you a better – that's what's kind of funny about all these, you know, and we all do it, but, like, shows across the country that want to have people on to preview other teams and talk training camp and everything. You can't really give a true evaluation until pads go on and they go up against somebody than themselves.
Yes.
Next week. So next week, like, you know, other shows out there, call me next Friday. And like, it doesn't even matter about the preseason game. Like, but call me after they go through a week of practicing with Tampa. And I can give you a better idea.
I get it. And that's the whole thing. I always default back to a guy I played junior college with. He could bench press 505 pounds. He squatted over 600. And like, oh, this guy's great. He looks good. Terrible. Terrible yeah. player. Yeah. Terrible player. Couldn't get it done. When pads happened to go on there, in the moment, he was terrible. So let's see what happens in the moment, what can go on. Until then, let's guffaw at all the great passes and the moments and all that. But put the pads come on, that's when it happens. And so we'll see a little bit tomorrow. There'll be some fighting tomorrow, some shoving and all that other good stuff. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be hot in Tampa.
Are they going to get kicked out of practice if that happens?
No, they'll probably kick out the punter. Because Callahan
Johnny knows, Hecker, get out of here.
Because Callahan knows the punter won't whip his ass unlike Simmons will. I think next week at Tampa, it's going to be blazing hot. It's hot here, but we put pads on and you're going to get somebody else, it's even more detrimental for everything that goes on. So we'll see what this team is made of next week. Early returns next week.
Yep. This week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken. Speaking of hot, Nashville's original hot chicken, bursting with heat and flavor, there's nothing better than the original. For a limited time, grab half off a $25 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals. More coming. Chasing Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5 The Game. That was Brian Callahan on Saturday talking about the interactions between his quarterback and Jeffrey Simmons. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
I think Brian Callahan starts every question or every response with, oh, it's been great.
Yeah, and he does. He's
that's been great.
He's a positive guy. I want to bring something up. And again, I'm not trying to be negative necessarily. I love trash talking with the best of them. On the football field, you know, Joe. I mean, like, the defense and the offense chirping each other, that's great.
Yeah.
I have not heard a team through a week or week plus of training camp talk more about the trash talk than this team has.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I'm
right.
Like, yeah, that's a good point. I don't care. Like, I'm glad y'all are trash talking. That's great.
Right.
How do the linebackers look? How's the pass rush? How's pass blocking going on? You know, like, tell me about that. Like,
right.
I don't. And again, I don't want to just pick on Jeffrey Simmons. I know he's a passionate guy, and I know he trash talks a lot. And that's fine. That's good. That chip on his shoulder, whatever. Cam Ward does it back. That's great. I feel like, you know, you talk about every answer Brian Callahan gives is, well, it was really great. It was good. I feel like that's all I have heard from this team is like, yeah, a lot of trash talking today. He gives it back, talks a little smack. I don't care.
No,
I want
with you.
Can somebody smack somebody? Like, can you tell me that?
I've always, you know, it's like a bar fight. The guy in the bar who doesn't say anything.
Oh yeah,
that's the guy you worry about. That the guy who runs his mouth, he's the guy that gets his ass kicked. The guy who doesn't say anything, quietly goes about his business. That's the guy you worry about. So yeah, they can try. I mean, it's just, yeah, I get all that stuff, whatever. But when you're sitting there,
like, it's fine.
2-9.
I mean,
yeah.
I would rather hear chirping than nothing. Like, I get that. Like, I'm not saying don't do it, but I just feel like that's all we – and, again, that's why I'm just like, can we put the pads on? Because that's all we've talked about.
Well, it's so funny, you know, the pads on now don't mean as much because there's no, like, that
– you can't breathe on the quarterback.
Like, when David Stewart with the Titans would play right tackle, he'd get in a fight every day. Every day. Because he would beat the guy's ass across from him, and they'd get mad and hit him after the play, and then he would just bring the hammer down. Former Mississippi State lineman there, Dr. Crane, for you.
Big country.
So those days are pretty much gone. Now the fighting's like, oh, stop it, guys. I don't know. I'd like to see an all-out brawl tomorrow.
Okay.
Just because some guy's getting beat in those drills.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because we both agree that if you fight in practice, you get kicked out of practice. That's how I feel.
Yes.
You throw a punch, you're out. However, I'm not saying that I'm totally against it happening. Like, maybe not a full-on, like, beat the crap out of each other. But like, if things get heated and one of these new offensive linemen, like, if J.C. Latham got in Jeff Simmons' face and they pushed and shoved a little bit, I'm okay with that. Because that tells me that you're both out there hustling.
Yeah.
You're both out there giving a crap about your job. and that the passion is there. It's the, you know, but again, you throw a punch, and I think if I'm Bill Callahan, I'm telling these offensive linemen, like, hey, I want you to get under 98 skin.
Yeah.
Because you got to test him. Because he's got to hold that back during a game.
Yeah, I like this.
I like that stuff. Like, that's good. But again, if Simmons or whoever, anyone throws a punch, Brian Callahan's got to do it right this time. Throw their ass out of practice.
Right.
Make them go to the weight room. Make them go to the sand pit. Whatever.
I think it happens now.
He's gotten enough, you know, bleep for it.
Yeah.
From all of us that he probably will. But, I mean, I've asked after that happened, you know, you talk to people. I talk to people. And every coach at any level is like, yeah, you toss him out.
We said that immediately. Like, he should be gone. You brought up Latham and Simmons fighting. Would that not be like King Kong versus Godzilla? I mean, those guys would tear downtown Nashville.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'd pay to see that.
I mean, these are two massive.
Like, if they wanted to do a celebrity boxing match for charity, right. I would pay to see, especially now that they've both, like, chiseled up and you know, gotten leaner. I'd pay to see that.
Because that's sumo wrestling.
Yeah, well, not even that. I mean, I think they got enough athleticism that it could be like a heavyweight UFC fight. I mean, that's a lot of meat right there.
Huge. I mean, Simmons looks great. And Latham, we talked
they
to
both, him. They both do.
Last Tuesday was like, holy cow.
Like, when he sat down, and by the way, meat hooks for hands, but when he sat down, I was like, damn, brother, you're looking good.
Great. I mean, dropped all the weight, 30, 40 pounds. Both of them have, Simmons and. But I keep looking over your head at the TV screen. Tyra Banks is on. I mean, she is.
Tyra Banks.
She is just stunning.
Have you seen?
She's more beautiful now. She's gotten older than she was 20 years ago.
Have you seen the Family Guy Star Wars episode?
I have not.
So it's one of my favorites. It's the spoof of Star Wars.
Right.
And I watched you were in there. We watched the show recently where they talked about that George Lucas and 20th Century Fox gave permission for them to do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All that stuff. There's a scene. Remember on the Death Star, they had the little droids that looked like little trucks that kind of ran around?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. And so there's a scene in the Family Guy one where they're walking through the concourse and one of these little trucks comes around and Brian Chewbacca like growls at him and he goes like, holy bleep, and turns around and runs back to his friend.
Yeah.
And they're talking to each other. And I was like, man, you're not going to believe what I just saw. And the other one goes, Tyra Banks. He goes, and he's like, no, but I don't even remember what I was talking about now. You got me thinking about Tyra Banks. That's what that just reminded me of.
I'm sorry. Gosh, he's gorgeous. Oh, man.
I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Oh,
J.C. Lloyd Cushenberry. Oh, no, sorry. J.C. Latham and Jeffrey Simmons.
Man, a lot of man meat, as Pat McAfee likes to say.
Oh, okay.
What a skillet to shame.
I don't know.
Have you eaten all of skillet yet?
I had a pork steak last Thursday. It was pretty good. Two of them.
Nice. I know I've said it before, but I don't see McAfee's things because he has me blocked on Twitter. So I appreciate when you guys give me Pat McAfee's stories because I'm blocked, and I don't know why. And one day I'll ask him, and then we'll see why. But until
then. Will you ask him why you're blocked in your Peyton voice?
Yeah. Man, I was trying to see something talking about you on the radio the other day, and they were saying, you said something funny about me at a blackjack table one time in West Virginia, and I want to know what you're talking about, but I can't go to your Twitter account.
Hey, man, how about that Red 18?
Was that, yeah, Red 18. That goes on. Yeah,
if you've never seen, like, actually, it's a fantastic story. I don't know how much of it's actually true.
But if
I
it
don't
is
care.
True, pretty good.
Like, so the short version is McAfee's in the casino. He gets his money out. He's going to play roulette. He's like putting like all his numbers out there, and all of a sudden everybody, like, you see like a crowd, and it's because Peyton has walked into the casino, and Peyton just walks by Pat McAfee. He's like, hey man, how about that Red 18? And literally the ball's spinning, and McAfee's like, grabs chips, throws it on Red 18, and sure enough it hits Red 18.
I hope that's a true story.
I hope it is too, because it's a fantastic one, for sure. Faux show. Coming up next. We'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. Join 1025 The Game at the Holiday Inn Nashville Airport this Sunday from 1 to 5 for the Dude Perfect inspired open house. We'll be on site giving away Dude Perfect tickets and Nashville Sounds family 4-packs plus games, prizes, and body armor. Check it out this Sunday here on 1025 The Game. 1025 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. You can help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating just $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. So we love this. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. Again, excited to work with Souls for Souls once again. We've done many things with them over the years and always enjoy it. $20 and get a kid a new pair of shoes.
Love it. Who's it sponsored by?
Massaro and 12 South.
Well, I don't remember sponsoring anything like that, but I'd love to help
Not Massaro, Massaro.
I'd love to help kids get some shoes and go back to school again. That'd be great.
Ah, yes, indeed. We've had some fun today, and let's end it with, as we always do, what day is it and celebrity birthdays? Brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Their commercial plumbing and HVAC division covers all of refrigeration service and maintenance needs. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards.
All right, gentlemen. First on the list, we have World Nature Conservation Day. So shout out to the nature. National Hamburger Day. Not a hamburger guy. I like cheese on
there.
Wait.
Today's National Hamburger Day?
Yeah.
Oh, we should have been out in the boot somewhere.
Still can be out in the boot, as you say.
Best hamburger around? Big Mac.
I thought he was going to name a local place. Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
Buffalo Soldiers Day is today. National Milk Chocolate Day, if you like milk chocolate. National Soccer Day. Shout out to the soccer people. Hey, there you go.
Where can we talk about soccer?
Talking Calcio. And you know, funny thing. Brett Kern, big listener.
Is he?
He's going to hop on as a guest. Cool, yeah. So, which is cool. National
Run
Water
that by me next time.
Well, it just happened randomly.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
National Water Park Day is today. If you guys go to a water park, National
Shores.
Shores.
You know who I bet loves water parks? David James.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he does. I can see it.
Big head nod there. World Hepatitis Day. Make sure you wash your hands. Don't want that.
Nope.
Especially in a water park, too.
Hey, that's true.
That's all.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, that's
okay,
it. Sorry,
right.
My bad.
Why the dramatic pause?
A pregnant pause.
Yes,
I can see. Why a Big Mac?
Why not? I mean, it's good. I'm kidding. By the way, David James at a water park would be like when Homer got stuck.
I was
Mount Splashmore.
We want to go to Mount Splashmore.
How did he get to the front of the line? Oh, fire inspector.
Yeah, fire inspector. Right.
Fire coming through.
I watched last night. A very, I think, underrated episode of The Simpsons where Homer gets a gun. Some of the lines in that episode.
Is that a recent one?
No. I mean, it's probably, it's first 10 seasons.
Okay.
But he lies to Marge twice. he opens his beer with a gun and like the NRA, he's in an NRA club with like Mo, Dr. Hibbert, and Krusty. And Krusty looks at him like,
yes.
Like, guns are not used to open your beer. They're open to protect your family, your business, and to keep the King of England from pushing you around.
Oh,
kick
I need
him
to
out.
Watch that.
It's so good.
Any episode with Krusty making any kind of comment is a great episode.
Oh, so good.
All right. Celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within two on each side of their birthday year. First birthday is the guy who created Garfield, Jim Davis. How old is Jim Davis?
82.
85.
80. Jim Davis divorced his first wife because she was allergic to cats. All right. Next up
is... you know that going in?
Yeah, right. Sally Struthers. How old is Sally Struthers from All in the Family, Archie's daughter?
77.
80.
78. Chaser's up 2-0. Continues his dominance from last week. The mom from Full House, Lori Loughlin, who went to, didn't she go to jail for
she
lying?
She did. To prison.
She's Aunt Becky.
Aunt Becky.
61.
58.
61 exactly.
I know my 90s sitcoms.
4-0. All right, what about your 90s teenage shows? Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell.
Fifty-three.
That's a push. Okay, got some more down here. CBS News anchor Scott Pelley.
67.
70.
68. 5-0. Selected Globetrotters versus the Generals. Singer Afro Man.
Elizabeth Berkley was in Showgirls?
Lead actress.
Was she?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
You didn't miss much, but you missed something.
Yeah. Afro Man, 47.
52.
51. Dr. Crane's on the board, 5-1. Lead singer of Papa Roach, Jacoby Shaddix.
Jacoby.
Jacoby.
Friend of 102.9 The Buzz. I would say he's 48.
49?
49, exactly.
Nice.
5-3. Where'd he go here? Oh, actor John David Washington. That's Denzel's son.
35.
32.
41.
Wow.
Goodness. All right, sports birthdays for you. Bill Bradley, former senator from New Jersey, great basketball player. Bill Bradley.
77.
68.
82. Former Chicago Bulls coach who got fired by Michael Jordan, Doug Collins.
Also coached him in Washington. Doug Collins, I'm going to say, is 80.
82.
74. Dana White, UFC.
56.
57.
56, exactly. Chase up 7-3. Manu Ginobili, the former Spurs basketball player.
Love Manu. 46.
48.
48, exactly. Dr. Crane still punching. 7-5. We're down to our last two. Houston Texans head coach D'Amico Ryans. Today's his birthday.
41.
38.
41, exactly. 9-5, our last birthday. I'm going to butcher his name because I don't remember how it's. Zach Parise?
Parise.
Parise. Zach Parise. Chase, if you hit this, double digits.
41.
42.
Oh, Dr. Crane. Too bad. Chase got it. He's 41. Chase wins. God, you're on a tear. 11-5.
Thank you.
Double digits once in 2 years. Double digits three times in less than a week.
What day is it? Celebrity Birthdays brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. As we say goodbye, Dr. Crane, I'm sorry to do this to you, but let's give away a pair of tickets to see Nelly at Ascend Amphitheater on Tuesday, September 16th. I might have to go check that show out.
When is it?
Tuesday, September 16th, Nelly at Ascend Amphitheater. Caller number 3-615-737-1025. You can win those on the way out. Had a lot of fun today. We'll be at Titans training camp tomorrow.
We will. For a few moments here, let me steal the mic from you. There was a guy that passed away last Friday to a lot of us that grew up in Nashville. Meant a lot to us. A guy named Don Baskin. He was a youth baseball coach for all of us that lived in Donelson, Hermitage, and Mount Juliet. Great man. Really took a lot of us under his wing. For me, I was a terrible baseball player, but didn't matter. At 13, 14 years old, and 15, he was a great man. A lot of us are mourning the passing of Don Baskin. If you know Don and his family, Don passed away on Friday. Great man, great youth baseball coach that meant a lot off the field to a lot of us in the community. For me, without a dad growing up, that guy stepped in and took me to baseball practice, bought me a baseball glove, and I was an absolute awful baseball player. So, Don, God bless you. I know you went to heaven, my man, because you were a great guy. So, God bless you. With that being said, to our guys out there, we always talk about this. If you're going through something, please talk to somebody. Please reach out and talk to somebody on your cell phone. You can dial 988 or text. We got some big news happening later this week. We're excited to tell you about our approach to men's mental health. And it's great. Thanks to all the guys who've reached out to us. Know that we love you. And it's a journey. Sometimes it's rough, but it's your journey. It's a beautiful journey. And we need you here on earth with us. We need you with us. So we know that we love you and want you to know that we love you. And more importantly, more than anything else, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.